to follow along with the reading, it'll be from Hebrews this morning. Hebrews chapter 2. We're going to read verses 5 through 10. This is New American Standard. And the two subtitles here, Earth Subject to Man and Jesus Briefly Humbled, are listed in my Bible. And I have written over here on the side Psalm 8, because that's my favorite psalm. And it's referenced in this particular reading. Starting at verse 5. For he did not subject to angels the world to come, concerning which we are speaking. But one has testified somewhere, saying, What is man that you remember him? Or the son of man that you are concerned about him? You have made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and have appointed him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. But now we do not yet see all things subjected to him. But we do see him who was made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings.
Good morning. So thankful you all are here this morning. We strongly encourage you to come back tonight at 5 p.m. for our second service. And let me quickly announce that John Hyder had informed us that Karen Walpole is back home as of yesterday. Is that correct? Yeah, as of yesterday, she's back home. So I wasn't sure if that was announced or not, but that's what John is reporting to us. So we want to dive right into our study of Hebrews. If you've had an opportunity to read through some of our reading agenda, we have the book of Hebrews, we have the book of Revelation, and we have the book, the Gospel of John. These are the three books that we're reading on Wednesday, Sunday morning, and Sunday night. So that's part of our reading schedule. And all three of those books, from the very get-go, from the introduction, all show us a glimpse of Jesus from different angles, giving us different information about who he is, what he's done for us, what he plans to do. And we're going to continue that kind of concept, learning about who Christ is. From the outset, the book of Hebrews, which we've been covering, but the book of Hebrews sets out to encourage these Christians not to quit, not to give up. Even though they're enduring persecution, even though they're going through suffering, they're going through hardships, don't quit, don't give up. And so he gives us those fundamentals and he gives us the basics, because what's going to help someone to hold on and to remain strong and faithful in the Lord? Well, the information that he's given us about Christ. That's the fundamental teachings that he's given us in order for us to remain strong, to remain faithful, to endure through these times of conflict. And so we started out with what the writer had mentioned. Who are we listening to? Who are we giving our attention to? Who are we giving our time to? Is it media? Is it friends? Is it social networks? Is it a guru of some sort? It could be anybody. Who are you listening to? And then the writer strongly urges us, you need to be paying attention to Christ, to Jesus, the risen Jesus. And then he gives us reasons why. Just as glorious as the angels are, and as much as you think about the angels and the high esteem that you hold angels up in, they're the servants of God, they're surrounded around the throne, they're majestic, they're wonderful to consider and to think about. As great as angels are, this was our lesson last week, as great as angels are, Jesus is greater. Jesus is better. So as wonderful and all the ideas that you have about angels, as wonderful as they are, Jesus is greater. That's why we should be listening to Jesus. Then we had in Hebrews 2 verses 1 through 4 our excursion passages, which gave us these word of warning, word of caution. We're going to see about five of these throughout the book, that he's on topic, he's in his discussion, and then he pauses to remind us, hey, you really need to be paying attention to this. You really need to be taking heed to what Jesus has said. Don't lose out on this wonderful salvation that Jesus provides for us. And remember what I said last week, he pauses to tell us, I want to prep you for what we're about to get into. Things can, and I'm not going to get too morbid, I'm not going to get too bleak. I had kind of debated that within myself. How far do I really want to go with this? But the writer's preparing us for this discussion for today. The discussion we're about to have, our relationship and our connection and why Jesus had to come to this earth. And if you paid attention to the song selection this morning, those were perfectly selected songs for our lesson today. So I hope that we sang out and we paid attention to the words, because they're going to correspond perfectly with our lesson today. I mean, we just sang it, we just mentioned it to God, now we're going to just go back over it. Who are we? Who are we? Who are people? Who is humanity? What are we here for? Someone may ask the question this way: who am I? What am I here for? What is my purpose? And in essence, that's kind of how he starts out describing, wanting us to take our self-examination and to realize who we are by asking this question. Look at verse 5 as we jump into the text. For he has not put the world to come of which we speak in subjection to angels, but one testified in a certain place, what is man that you are mindful of him? So he even asked the question, who are we? What is man? And I doubt that you thought about this before you came into worship, but that's the subject that he's going to be getting into. This world to come is going to be subjection to whom? It's not to angels. Who is it to? And then he gets into this. Who are we? Who are we as people? Who are we as humanity? Why am I here? What is my purpose? Why has God put us here? And that's what Psalm 8, the quotation that you see in verse 6, is dealing with. Look at verse 6 of Hebrews 2 again. What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. So if you saw the bulletin, we addressed the world to come, because what is this world to come? It's the known world, and it's the world that's going to come. This is the messianic age. This is the time where Jesus comes into the picture and he delivers opportunity for salvation to us. He delivers the new covenant. He ushers in the new heavens and the new earth. And so it has a both here and a future tense to it. We have our citizenship in heaven, even though we live here on earth, and we're expecting to go into the heavens with him and to live with him in glory forever. And so that's kind of the idea of what the age to come is dealing with. When are these things going to be fulfilled? And so we have to ask this question now. Who is the world coming going to be subjected to? And that's what he's dealing with Psalm 8. So look at Psalm 8 again, or look at Hebrews 2, verse 7 again. You have made him, who is that? That's talking about the whole of humanity. You have made humanity a little lower than the angels. Notice this. You have crowned him with glory and honor. So, Lingering in this background is going to be Genesis chapter 1, which we're going to get to in a moment, which most of us know that text. Let me ask you this. In this world to come, in this age to come, who is to be ruling? Humans. People are to be ruling. Now, if you're like me, people don't... This takes on some negative connotations. It has negative descriptions associated with it. But when I was growing up as a kid, almost every single Halloween, I was a punk rocker. And I felt like, in my own individual right, I was ruling. Like I was... And most people in the 80s, we like to think that we were ruling. We were cool. We were the it game. We were everything. And so whether that was true or not, or whether it was an era that I'm glad is over, but people were ruling in the 80s, and they really enjoyed this. And this is the idea that he gives us here. Who is to rule over all things? It's people. Now turn to Genesis 1, and I want you to notice this. Genesis 1, verses 26 through 28. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." And I want you to notice this language next. "Let them," who's that? Male and female humanity. "Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the ground." So who did he give rule to? That's humanity. Humanity was to rule creation. We were to govern over God's created world. That was our position. And notice who we are to rule and have dominion over. Everything. Right now, at this very moment, you're standing in a building, but when you go outside, what is under your feet? The creation. You are to rule over the creation. Many of you probably know the answer to this question. But what happened in Genesis chapter 3? What happens in Genesis chapter 3? We know the influence is from the Satan, the Satan, the devil himself. But who did he use in order to tempt and to trick Eve? A serpent. Go back to this text in Genesis 1:26. Who is to have dominion over the serpents? Humans. People are. We are. And what happened? We messed up. We failed. We sinned. We made the mistake. And then this carried over into our lifestyles. You go to Genesis chapter 4, and you see the first relationship between two brothers, Cain and Abel, and how does their relationship turn out? How did things turn out for those individuals? One butchers the other. It's not until you get into 1 John chapter 3 that the language there means he chopped him up into little pieces. He didn't just bop him over the head with a club. He chopped him up. He killed him. So then we've taken something good and positive, rule and dominion, and we made it out to be something like this. You cross me, I'll kill you. You hurt me, I'll hurt you. You mess with me, I'll take you out. I'll get rid of you. So then this language of rule and dominion and control and power is very negative, and it's nasty. And no one really likes it, in essence, because if you rule over me or if I try to rule over you, what's going to happen? We're going to end up fighting. There's going to be a battle that takes place. God says, that was never my intentions. That was never the aim of humans ruling over this creation. It was to never to be a violent thing or negative or nasty. It was never to be dark. But even when I say that, how do you feel? Hey, dominion, rule, power. It's imagery like this that comes to our mind. How do we get rule and control and power? We take people out. We kill them. We get what's ours. James chapter 4 tells us, where do fighting and wars come from? They come from your evil desires. That's where all of it comes from. We've taken this rule and we've made it a real nasty, ugly thing. So when we look at this, humans are to be ruling. This is what we've done with it. This is what we've done with it. Instead of us ruling the world, we've allowed the world to rule us. The world controls us. The world rules us. And this is what we've done with the dominion, with the rule, with our status and position. We've taken advantage of it. So what hope do we have now? What do we do with this information? Now that we've ruined this, I mean, look at Hebrews 2 again. If you're back at Hebrews 2, he says, you have made him a little lower than angels. You've crowned him with glory and honor. Now it's shame and it's disdain because we've taken that wonderful image, mankind being created in the image of God, to go and be his representatives in this world to have rule and dominion. We've missed the mark. We've stained it. We've messed up. We were to be crowned with glory and honor. Look at the rest of verse 8. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. That's humanity. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not see all things put under him. That's part of the chaos that we've created for ourselves. We don't see the rule and the glory and the honor and prestige that we're to have and the position that we're to uphold. We don't yet see that because of the sin issue that we're faced with, because of this very problem right here. So where do we hope? Where is our hope placed? What's to happen next? And I told you this. The writer exalts Jesus in chapter 1. He lifts Jesus up on high and he wants us to see the risen, exalted Savior. And when we messed up, we ruined the rule and dominion we were to have. The writer now says, that's when Jesus came. Jesus joins the wreckage and he becomes our hope. So this mystery figure that we weren't able to see or understand, he now comes into the suffering. Now he enters into where death is ruling and reigning. Where we have pain, where we have heartache, where we have suffering, where we have tribulation and persecution, all of these issues. Jesus entered into this world. So now our hope is in Jesus. And that's what the writer says. We don't see everything put under our rule and control because all we see at the moment in time is this. We see hatred, we see evil, we see darkness. Now, I thought about this and I thought, well, you could be a person that tries to think more positive and go, oh, I'm trying to see all the good things in the world. In order to see all the good things, you're going to have to block out and act like this isn't real. But this is a very real reality in the world that we live in. This happens, and it shouldn't be the case. So yeah, you can take a positive approach or you can just stick your head in the sand like an ostrich. But this is real. This happens in our world. And so Jesus had to come in to the suffering, to all the chaos, to the wreckage, in order to save us. There was one speaker addressing this section of Scripture, and he brought up the concept of how we don't like the ideal of ruling or dominion, but then we pay millions and millions of dollars to go see movies that display people ruling and having power and doing it by force and violence. What is one of the best-selling series of movies of all time? Who's seen The Godfather? Good, you didn't raise your hand. Okay, we'll have an invitation for you. No. Yeah, don't go see that movie, right? But what the movie displays for us is the true essence and nature of people. What's it about? Control, manipulation, distortion, money, greed, power, hunger, rule, authority. I want to have dominion over you. We want to have dominion over each other, but over the earth. But then we pay millions of dollars to go and see these movies and we praise this, and Jesus comes on the scene and he's the true hero. He's the one that comes in, and what does Jesus do in order to attain victory over these problems that we have in this earth? How did Jesus fix the wreckage? Did he come in and by violence and force take people over? And isn't that the anticipation that they expected? We expected Jesus to come on the scene, defeat the Roman Empire, take over by violence and force. Even when Jesus was being arrested, what did Peter do? He took out the sword, tried to cut off the ear, and what did Jesus say? Those who live by the sword die by the sword. So you mean it's not by strength of power and violent force that we rule? No. What's it by? Jesus showed us. Calvary. Now we see Jesus, and he's the one who's ruling. And how did he get there? By sacrificing himself. Coming into the suffering and pain and violence and not fighting back, but allowing that suffering, pain, and violence to happen to him. Now, that's not a movie any of us are going to pay for. That's not going to sell in our world today. People wouldn't pay millions and billions of dollars to come and see someone be defeated. But that's how Jesus gained the victory. He died. Look what the verse says. Verse 9, but we see Jesus. And then look what he does. He quotes Psalm 8 that was dealing with humanity, and now he applies it to Jesus. But we see Jesus made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. He, Jesus, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. That's the victory. That's what Jesus did for us that we could not do for ourselves. Jesus comes in and he says, you've taken humanity, you've taken the rule and the position that he's given you, you've distorted it, you've messed it up, and Jesus says, I'm going to fix it for you. This is what a true human looks like in Jesus. That's who we are to be. When the disciples asked Jesus, who's going to be set at your right hand? Who's going to be with you in your crown and your throne? Who's going to have the power to rule with you? And what did Jesus say? The greatest, the most powerful, the one who takes it by force? He says, no. The least. The servant of all. The last one. The one who humbles himself, the submissive one, the one who surrenders his life, that's going to be the greatest. That's the most powerful. And who's the champion? Who's the hero? Jesus. Where we failed, he succeeded. And he dealt with our consequences, our punishment. He took it for us. What do we do with this information? Two things I want you to walk away with today. Look down at verse 10. For it was fitting, this was just right, this is just perfect. It was fitting for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things. This is talking about God the Father. In bringing many sons to glory to make the captain, that's the hero. That word can be trailblazer, pioneer. We'll get to that more next week, but that's pioneer, trailblazer. That's our hero come on the scene. The captain of their salvation, perfect through suffering. So two things I want us to take away from this morning's lesson. Number one, God created us for honor and glory. God created us for glory and honor. God cares about humans. He truly cares about us, even though we seem insignificant, even though we don't feel this, we don't see it at the present time. This is the hope of all Christians. He gives opportunity to all humans for this, God wants to glorify you. He wants to honor you. When will that be fulfilled? When Jesus comes back and he takes us into his eternal home. That's when this will happen. But I want you to know today, everyone here, there's not one person better than another one. All of us here were created to be glorified and honored. You're valuable. That's what I want you to know. That's what the scriptures tell us. You're so valuable that God saw the problems humanity had in ruling, and he sent his son out of love. I love them so much, I'm going to send my son down there to fix it for them, to show them who they truly should be, how they can have fellowship and relationship with the Father. That's what God created us for. And then number two, where does this glory come from? Through suffering. Read verse 10 again. In bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. So our perfection, our victory comes through the time that we suffer here and now. And we still maintain that relationship with God. The path of the cross for Jesus was glory, victory. It can be yours today. God wants to save you. He wants you to become a Christian. He wants you to be baptized for the remission, the removal of the mark that you missed, remission of sins. And then he wants you to go and live in his new kingdom as a priest, as royalty. Your citizenship being in heaven, you living in the world, but not of the world. You live a different life. Now you're a new person. Now Psalm 8 can truly be yours now, and you can be glorified and you can be honored because now you're following in the footsteps of Jesus. Again, this only comes through suffering. Become a Christian. If you're a Christian and you have forgotten that, you've forgotten why Jesus came, you've forgotten what God wants to give you, that he truly values you, he loves you so much that he sent the best heaven had to offer down to rescue you. If you've forgotten that, we encourage you to repent of your sins. If we can help you in any way this morning, come forward as we stand and we sing.